Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name to grant us the light of the Holy Spirit, enlighten the truths of our faith and of our mind, and to flame our heart with a greater love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, in the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, the liturgy today, the Church invites us to praise God not merely for his work, but for who he is. The Trinity is the greatest mystery of our Christian faith. For Christians, we all worship one God, but the mystery of three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we started studying theology in seminary, it's very interesting. You wouldn't think it, but in the Old Testament, there's foreshadowings, there's mentionings of the Trinity there. In the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, it says, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." So it's always referring to one God, but there's some certain different persons there. So you're trying to grasp that. With the coming of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of the Trinity becomes explicit. As Christ, he tells the apostles, go out and preach the gospel and to baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now you think about that grammatically. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, if you knew nothing about Christianity, you would say, well, grammatically, that's incorrect. It should be in the names, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No. Theologically, that would be heresy. No, in the name, singular, one God, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And every time a sacrament is celebrated, any seventh sacrament, we pray, we're invoking the Holy Trinity, the moment that we make the sign of the cross. Now, God is love. St. John says, it says it throughout the scriptures, especially in John's epistle, it says, God is love. Now, follow me with this. There's a medieval theologian, Richard of St. Victor. He says this about love. No one is properly said to have charity on the basis of the own private love of self. And so it's necessary for love to be directed towards another in order for it to be charity. If God is love, he has to love someone. There's no love in a void without an object. Well, for instance, our eye cannot see objects without light. Our ear, we can't hear, it does not function unless there's an object, some kind of sound. Same thing with our sense of smell. There has to be an odor or pleasant fragrance for that to be functioning. So if we say God is love, and God is charity, what Pope Benedict XVI wrote in the encyclical, there has to be an object. So how do you do this? Is God loving himself? That would be narcissism. That would be selfishness. The answer is, God is love, that there's God the Father, always loving the Son from all eternity, and the love between the Father and the Son is so strong that it's a person from all eternity, the third person, Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine, the Church says, well, try to grasp, to a certain extent, this mystery of the Trinity, we have to look at it in terms of relationships. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one who loves, the one who's loved, and the love between the two. And that's difficult to get a hold of. I remember asking a priest, as I was preparing to enter seminary, thinking about this mystery of the Trinity, I said, well, surely, because he had made the statement that no one's ever going to fully fathom the mystery of the Trinity. I said, well, what about the Blessed Mother? Because she has a unique relationship with the Trinity. She is the daughter of the Father. She is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And she's the mother of the Son. So she's related to the Trinity as daughter, as spouse, and mother. He said, even the Blessed Virgin Mary, with a great purity, a great intellect, and great love, even she can dwell into the depths of the Trinity. She has a greater grasp of than we ever will. Okay? Now, take this. Trinity relationships. And I'm going to make a shift here, then come back to Trinity. There's an author, his name's Matthew Kelly, great Catholic author. He's, I think, in his early 40s, been writing for a number of years. He's from Australia. You have CDs of his back in the rack here, and these number of books he's written have had great impact on people's lives. One book he wrote was The Seven Levels of Intimacy. He was talking about the seven levels in different relationships. You know, one being the lowest form of relationship, and then seven being the highest, okay? He said in relationships, he said the first level of intimacy, the first level of relationship is that of cliches. Hey, you see someone, hey, how's it going? Or you say, you know, something really simple, hey, have a good day. So he said, now there's, in that situation there, you're not exposing yourself, you're not vulnerable, you can't be criticized, you're just acknowledging someone else's presence. Okay, there's some kind of form of relationship, but that's the lowest. He said, the next form of relationship is facts. You're talking to someone. You may talk a little more deeper about maybe the weather, maybe the sports, or current events. And whatever can be addressed in conversation without too much risk, without opening yourself up. And the third level is that of opinions. Now, when we get into this stage, we make ourselves more vulnerable because we have opinion, the other person is going to have opinion, and that opinion may differ, and there could be an argument that ensues. The opinion level is the first level of vulnerability marked by a person's willingness to risk revealing something about who they are. This is often the level where conversations break down, where disagreements of opinion reveal inflexibility or intolerance. Conversely, if a person is willing to allow others to disagree without rejecting, ridiculing, or punishing, the conversation can continue to the next level. And the next level, hopes and dreams. If we navigate safely through the level of opinions, people will often be willing to reveal what truly inspires them. And I see each one of these levels, there's a greater giving of self, exposing of oneself. Sharing hopes and dreams identifies what a person wants to become, or how they want to live. Being safe enough to trust others with your dreams prepares you to connect at even a deeper level. The next level, that of feelings. When the environment is safe enough to be honest with our feelings, only then are we able to feel truly connected. You know, we all have close friends, people we could talk about. We know they're not going to judge us, condemn us, they're going to open to us because we know that there's a love there. However, inviting someone else to enter into our feelings, however, makes us feel vulnerable. For most people, it is a difficult obstacle to overcome, depending on how accepting or validating past experiences have been. So let's say you share your feelings with someone and they just like slam you. Well, how likely are you going to go ever deeper with that relationship? You're probably going to step back maybe to level two, where you just leave it in the facts so we don't get any deeper. And then the sixth level, fears, failures, and weaknesses. This level is uncomfortable for many because in our culture, weakness is seen as a fault. In the past, sharing of one's fears, failures may have been met with ridicule and rejection rather than acceptance and support. Conversely, when openness on this level is met with care and nurturing, real healing and growth can occur. And the final level, intimacy, which especially husband and wife should strive for, we should strive for, especially within the family, needs. Sharing our needs in a way that's not vulnerable, not demanding, is a sign of maturity, as the ability to listen to one another. Sometimes our conversations lack meaning because we fail to listen or fail to ask the right questions. We fail to listen because we don't know how to subjugate our own needs in order to meet the needs of others. So in other words, let's say a mother and a father, they brought this child into the world. There's a great love there. And right from the very beginning, there's needs that the child has. You know, and so they're dying to self, thinking of the other, how they can help the child, the needs the child has. And the child, the lover, can't communicate that audibly. So there's a great love there, a selfless love, but the parent may have to get up several times in the middle of the night to meet the needs of this child. Well, the deepest levels of intimacy is we're striving to fulfill the needs of the other. St. Paul says anticipating, even before they ask, anticipating the needs of others. We've gotten such a level that we almost know, in a sense, what they're thinking. We almost know, in a sense, what they're feeling, that the hearts and minds have become one. Now let's go back to the Trinity. God has needs. Paul, what are you talking about? God's all perfect. In Jesus Christ, God takes on a human heart, human emotions. And in the Scriptures, Jesus says, I thirst. He thirsts for your love and mine. He thirsts. He says to the apostles, he says to us, could you not watch with me an hour? Spend an hour in prayer, an hour of adoration. Couldn't you not watch with me? So there's a hunger and there's a thirst. If we have a deep relationship with God, we're going to try to fulfill his needs, to satiate that love, the thirst that he has for our hearts, and he in turn fills it for us. See, the life of the Blessed Trinity, we're called to share that life. And it's possible because the second person of the Blessed Trinity took on flesh, he entered into our world, the human condition, in a sense, opened the door, making it possible for us through Christ through his humanity, to enter into this life of the Trinity. That's why Jesus says, I must go so the Holy Spirit comes. I've opened the door. Now the Holy Spirit, the advocate I'm going to send, is going to flame your heart with love, and it's going to show you the spirit of truth to follow me and give you strength to go through this. Now, all of us here, I'd ask, what level of relationship are you with God? There are some souls sitting here right now that your hearts are open. But as is typical in any parish, there are some hearts here that your relationship with God may be at the lowest level. Now the lowest level, so at least it's the beginning, when someone says, oh, good morning, God, and that's it. They don't follow the commandments, don't care what their church teaches, they don't have a hunger, thirst to learn more about the other, a thirst that's so deep that Christ established church, I want to learn more about the church because I love Christ. When you love somebody, I want to learn more about them and things in their life. So there's all these different levels. Then you get someone, and maybe they go to Mass on Christmas and Easter. Okay, there's some kind of relationship there. Then you get someone that strive, they hunger, they want to be at Mass in the weekend. Not that, oh, I have to be there, I'm supposed to be there. No, I want to be there. See, a deeper relationship? And then there's a number of people, praise God, daily Mass goers. That really strengthens the faith of us priests. We see these people who are arranging their work schedules and striving. Maybe if they lose sleep and things like that, so they can be here at Mass, a deeper relationship. And there's those, in addition to that, that, Father, I have to spend time with the Eucharistic Lord. I have to, because our Lord says that. He's thirsty for love. He asked me, can I not watch now? See, all these relationships deeper and deeper and deeper. And then finally, and this is what we often strive for, because only those who reach the highest level are the ones in heaven, the saints, those who have been perfected in love. We get that Blessed Mother Teresa and John Paul II, where they could say with St. Paul, it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And I'm so concerned about fulfilling the will of God that I've forgotten self. We still keep our identity. So what I would suggest today in this Trinity Sunday, this invitation that we have to share this very life of the Trinity, to be in that family of the Trinity. Ask God, I'm speaking to myself too, when we receive communion today, Lord, help me to go to the deepest level of relationship with you, to think of your needs, think of your will, think of what you want before what I want. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.